All right, good evening, brothers and sisters. So the scripture we'll be looking at is in John 18. Just two verses there, verses 37 and 38. John 18, 37 and 38. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Quite a profound question, and then a profound answer. Just reminded that question, what is truth? We quite often reflect on Pilate's, the way he inquired about Jesus. Not sure exactly where his heart was, if he was searching or what, but just reminded of that, how whether we all know it or not, we're looking for something, we're looking for truth. And I'm anxious to see how Brian will talk about Jesus, who is the source of truth tonight. All right, with these words on our minds, let's kneel for prayer.
Good evening. Thank you. We greet each one of you tonight in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's our intent this evening to continue on with what I've been speaking about my last couple turns, Jesus and his interaction with Pilate. We looked at two truths previously. We looked at the idea that Jesus Christ was delivered to Pilate by a loving God, loving Father. God is the one who delivered Jesus Christ to Pilate. We looked, secondly, then, at Jesus as King. And tonight we'd like to look at the fact that Jesus is truth. Jesus is truth. Just a quick review of what brings us to this point. If you remember that Jesus, when he was arrested, went through six trials. First, he was taken to Annas, the high priest. Secondly, he was taken to Caiaphas in the Sanhedrin at night. It was an illegal trial because it happened at night. And then at the crack of dawn, he again was taken to Caiaphas in the Sanhedrin the second time. After that, he was sent to Pilate. And that's where we are in the account today. Jesus is brought before Pilate. Later on, we know Jesus declares himself to be a Galilean. Then he's sent to Herod, and then Herod sends him back again to Pilate. So he went through six trials, three at the hands of the religious leaders and three at the hands of the Roman government. Tonight we'd like to look at the truth that we learn of Jesus before Pilate, when he is that Jesus is the truth. And as Brother Micah said, in this text, we find the age-old question of what is truth. And I agree with Brother Micah. I don't know, when Pilate asked that question, where his heart was. I thought about it and studied it, and I don't know. Was he sincere? Did he really want to know what the truth was? Was he being sarcastic when he said, what is truth? You know, can anyone know truth? Was he being fatalistic? Who can know the truth? It's one of those things that we can't ever know. What is truth? What was Pilate's heart here? I don't know. But the question is certainly relevant to us today as we hear the news, get bombarded every day with information. How do we know what is the truth? even the church itself, what Timothy, Paul calls in 1 Timothy, the pillar and ground of the truth, even the church itself is under attack with what is truth. What is truth? Perhaps it's always been that way, but it seems to me in today's world, it's even more so. Sometimes we hear in the church, well, that's a gray area. That phrase is often an attack on truth. I would tell you this evening, there's not as many gray areas in Scripture as what people want you to believe. Sometimes we hear in church today, we need to focus on the major doctrines and let everything else go. That's not the truth either. Sometimes we hear it just doesn't make sense to me. Common sense often stands at odds with the truth. Sometimes we think, is all that really necessary? Sometimes the age-old question that way back in Genesis, did God really say that? Sometimes that sweeps through the churches today. One of the big things sweeping through church today, I believe, is individualism. Personal truth. What's true for me isn't necessarily true for you. I happened to think, as I was thinking on this individualism and personal truth, a song from my childhood, it went through maybe the country music. I should have taken the time to look it up. But as I remember it, the lyrics was, me and Jesus got our own things going. Me and Jesus have it all worked out. Me and Jesus have our own thing going. We don't need anybody to tell us what it's all about. So you see, that's individualism. And it's sweeping through the church today. I warn you, each one here this evening, that we have an enemy. We have an enemy that's a deceiver. We have an enemy that's the father of lies. And we need to be on guard. What is truth? What is truth? And what is false? You know, the question, what is truth, leads to many other questions. Can I really know the truth? And perhaps the most important is, once you know the truth, will you accept it as truth? We find Pilate here in our account before us this evening, asking, what is truth? You know, Pilate, one of his duties was to be judge. Of all men, as judge, shouldn't a judge who's charged to judge righteously, equitably, fairly, know the truth? I happen to think, what was truth for Pilate? Was it the Roman laws? What the government, what Caesar said is truth? Was that truth for Pilate? Was truth found in his army and his soldiers? Was truth found in the court system? Was truth found in power and his might? I ask you tonight, what is truth for you? How do you know what is true? What can you base your life on? What never changes? What can you trust to be true? We often hear that seeing is believing. I don't know that that's true anymore. We can't even trust common sense. We can't trust our senses. What we see isn't necessarily true. What we hear isn't necessarily true. What we read isn't necessarily true. I heard, and I don't know a lot about it, some of you that are more tech people than I am could fill me in. But I've been heard about something called artificial intelligence. And it scares me. And it should scare you. I was reading that they can take and type a scene into the computer, whether it be a beach scene or a mountain scene, and someone can type words into a computer and they can show it on a screen and it looks real. When you think of that, that should scare you. Because what you see on the news, even though you see it with your eyes, even though it's projected, there could be opportunity for someone to change that. You see, what we even see with our senses at times cannot be trusted. What is truth to you? Do you find it in the books that you read, the self-help books that you read? Do you find it in commentaries? Do you find it on the computer? Is it your own common sense? What is truth? You know, truth by definition is something that's real, something that's factual, something that's genuine, something that's actual. It's real. It's truth. We'd like to look for a few minutes tonight, look at what is truth. What is truth? First, God is truth. It's His attribute. It's character. It's who He is. In John 8:26, Jesus says, "He that sent me is true. He that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of Him." Hebrews 6:18 says it's impossible for God to lie. God is true. God only speaks truth. He's the author of truth. He's the source of truth. God is true. God never changes. You can count on Him. You can build your faith on Him. You can build your daily life on Him. God is true. Secondly, Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the truth. In John 8:26, Jesus said, "I have many things to say and to judge of you, but He that sent me is true, and I speak the word. I speak to the world those things which I have heard of Him." You see, God is true, and Jesus came to speak God's word. Jesus is true. The message is always the same. It's never different. It's never different. Jesus says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." You know, Pilate stood before truth itself, and he asked Him, "What is truth? What is truth?" I wonder how many times we read the Bible over, heard God's word proclaimed, and then say, "What is truth? What is truth?" Thirdly, the Holy Spirit is truth. If you would take your Bibles and turn to John 14, we'd like to look at a few verses here in John. The Holy Spirit is truth. John 14, verse 16 and 17. Jesus is saying here, "I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." The Holy Spirit is true. The Holy Spirit is true. Turn back a few pages to John 16. John 16, verse 13. "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth." The Holy Spirit is truth, and he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Do you see the progression? Do you see the unity of it all? God is true. Jesus Christ is true. He came to speak God's word. And the Holy Spirit is true because he's speaking only what God has told him to say. John 15, 26. And when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. You see, here it is again. It's one message. The truth is one message. God is true. Jesus Christ is true. And the Holy Spirit is true. The fourth way, fourth thing that is true is God's word is true. God, John 17, 17, thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. Turn perhaps the best scripture on the truth of God's word, Psalm 119. Turn Psalm 119. I'd like to read a few verses here. Psalm 119, verse 42. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty for to seek thy precepts. And I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments which I love. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Drop down to verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day. God's word is true. I have a warning for you this evening. You know, we're told in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, to try the spirits, to test the spirits, to see if they be true. I struggle with it in my mind at times to know what is true. But I tell you tonight, if you think you're being led by the Spirit and it doesn't line up with God's Word, it's not the Holy Spirit leading you. I promise you that. God's Word and the Spirit that's leading you will never contradict each other. You can test the Spirit that's leading you. Many today are being led by spirits, and they may be spiritual. But if it doesn't line up with God's word, it's not the Holy Spirit leading them. If you hear a spirit telling you to take off your covering, that's not the Holy Spirit leading you. It's not. If you hear a spirit telling you to marry someone that's been divorced, that's not the Holy Spirit leading you. It's a different spirit. If you hear the Spirit telling you to wear jewelry, that's not the Holy Spirit. You see, brethren, they will never contradict each other. What's true of the Spirit is true in God's Word, it's true from Jesus, and it's true from God. There's unity in all four of those things, and you can use them to test each other. You see, you can know the truth. It's all one message. God is true, Jesus Christ is true, the Holy Spirit is true, and God's Word is true. The truth is the truth. It doesn't matter whether you agree with it. It doesn't matter if you understand it. It doesn't matter even if it makes sense to you. It doesn't stop it from being the truth. I think I've told this account to you before, but I'll say it again. You know, many years I struggled with the truth of about divorce and remarriage. I struggled with it. And I visited a neighbor man one day, and I told him of my struggles. And he said, just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's not true. He encouraged me to accept God's word as truth. And I did that. And God has added over the years understanding to the truth about divorce and remarriage. I encourage you tonight, is there a part of Scripture that you're struggling with? The part you just can't accept. It doesn't make any sense to you at all. Accept it as the truth because it's God's word. And I believe that God will add understanding to your faithfulness in accepting his word. Oh, brothers and sisters, the truth is so precious. It's priceless. It's worth devoting your life to, and it's worth dying for. Make knowing the truth a priority in your life. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. Whatever it takes, get to know the truth. And then hold on. Hold on. Jesus said in the text this evening, to this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. One of the reasons Jesus left the glories of heaven to come to earth was that you might know the truth, that he might bear witness to the truth. You see how precious it is. I have a few warnings for you about neglecting or rejecting the truth. Warning number one, if you don't know the truth, you can't know Jesus. It's sobering, isn't it? Jesus said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. If you're going to know Jesus, then you know the truth. And if you know the truth, then you know Jesus. You see, without truth, you'll never know Jesus, and you'll never get to heaven. Do you see how important it is that you know the truth? Warning number two. You're never going to survive in this world. You're never going to survive in this world as a Christian if you don't know the truth. You'll be eaten up by the world. In John 17, Verse 15, it says, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but thou shouldst keep them from the evil one. You know, we're in the world. As we studied that parable about the wheat and the tares, God has deemed it that we coexist with the tares. The wheat and the tares until the end of time are going to be together. But Jesus here says, praise not that thou should take them out of the world. We're to exist with tares, but thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And then he goes on to say, sanctify them. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify means to set apart. How do you live amongst the tares of the world? Know the truth. If you know the truth, you're going to be protected. If you don't know the truth, eventually the tares will take you over. You must know the truth if you're going to survive in the world today. Number three, if you don't know the truth, you are in bondage. You're in bondage to Satan. You're in bondage to yourself. And you're in bondage to sin. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You see, truth is freedom. And if you don't know the truth, you have no freedom and you're in bondage. Warning number four that we've already sort of discussed. Without the truth, you have no protection from Satan, from yourself, or from the enemy. You're vulnerable, you're weak, and you will fail. Ephesians 6, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness. Do you see the protection you have in knowing the truth? Warning number four, without the truth, you're not approved by God. Without the truth, you're not approved by God. You're a false teacher. You're an enemy of God, an enemy of the church. It's a problem then, and it's a problem today. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved to God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more godliness. And as their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. You want to be approved by God? It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Warning number six, you can't worship God without truth. And that scares me. Many today are trying. Many are trying to worship in the Spirit, but without truth. And it can't be done. It's all a waste of time. Jesus told the Samaritan woman that day, you worship, but you know not what. John 4:24 says, God is a Spirit, and they that worship must. The word there is must. If you're going to worship, you must worship in spirit and in truth. You know, there are many other religions that worship in the spirit. It's from the heart, and to them it's real. But that's not enough. If you're going to worship God, You have to not only worship from the heart, but you have to worship in truth. Warning number 7. Without truth, you can't love God. You can't love your fellow man. Without truth, you have absolutely nothing to offer. You have nothing to offer. Jude calls those people clouds without water and trees without fruit. 1 John 3:18 says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him." Without truth, we can't love. Without truth, we have nothing to offer the world around us. Without truth, we're wasting our time in missions. We have nothing to offer. The 8th warning, without truth, we walk in darkness. This darkness, I believe, is a progressive darkness. No one wakes up tomorrow and said, we're going to abandon truth. It's a progressive darkness. It's little by little, step by step. Things we call minor doctrines. We ignore or neglect those truths. And it just gets a little bit darker. Then the next minor doctrine we neglect, and it just gets a little bit darker. You see, brethren, truth, as far as I know, and correct me if I'm wrong, truth is singular. The Bible doesn't contain truths, plural, with an S. The Bible is true. The Bible is not a book about a series of truths. The Bible is truth, singular. You need to be very careful of breaking off pieces of the truth. Pieces you don't like. Pieces you don't understand. Pieces that you don't agree with. It leads to darkness and more darkness. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah 59. I realize this portion of Scripture is to Israel. I understand that. But what a warning it has for us today. Isaiah 59, verse 9. It's thinking about darkness and walking in darkness. And it gets a little darker and a little darker every truth we discard. 59 verse 9, "Therefore is judgment," or justice, "far from us. Neither doth justice," righteousness, "overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness." This describes a people that have neglected truth. "We grope for the wall like a blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears, and we mourn sore like doves. We look for justice, judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth has fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. The Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. Once you leave off truth, then there's no hope. You see, you can't even know right from wrong because you get in that dark area. I read this week about a Christian denomination that I once held very highly. Founded by Charles Wesley. Much of what Charles Wesley taught, I respect. But little by little, they gave up on truth. And this week they said that homosexuality and all those other lifestyles were okay. Declared it to be truth. You see, we need to be very, very careful because it's a downward spiral once you start breaking off little pieces of truth and not taking God's whole word as truth. In the account tonight, Jesus stood there before Pilate, and he said, "To this end I was born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate said, "What is truth?" I tell you, brothers and sisters, tonight, you need not ask that question. What is truth? You can know the truth. And the truth is found in God. Spend time with God if you want to know the truth. Truth is found in Jesus Christ. Spend time, intimate time with Jesus. Walk with him and talk with him. The truth is found in the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you to all truth. That's what Jesus said is the job of the Holy Spirit. And spend time in God's Word. These are all truth. It is possible for you to know the truth. You don't have to be confused about what is true and what's a lie. May God bless you.
Grace and full of truth. Thank the Lord for that. Let's stand.